Philippians chapter 4. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, it was in approximately the year 62 AD. And Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel. He had already spent 2 years in prison in Caesarea. And he has now been transferred to Rome. And he has been in Rome. He has to wait another 2 years in Rome before his hearing. And so altogether, he's got about 4 years that he has been in bonds for preaching the gospel. And he's waiting his trial. He had hopes that he might be released, but at the same time, knowing that he would stand before the emperor, Nero, who had a terrible reputation of being cruel and unjust, Paul was faced with the reality that he may lose his life. And in the light of all that, and all those bleak situations that were around Paul, Paul penned the verse we're going to look at this morning in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, the whole book of Philippians is about joy. You look up the word joy and joy, joyful and gladness. You'll find that the theme is all through the book of Philippians. Paul's writing to them a letter of joy and a letter of excitement. And he's rejoicing. And yet Paul is facing some of the most difficult days of his life. Possible execution for preaching the gospel. And as we conclude 2020 has been a difficult year for everyone in the world. It's been a year of the deadly virus that has plagued our world. Many have lost their lives, either directly or indirectly, through the COVID virus. And the threat is still not finished. It's a year of sad political changes in the United States. It's also been a year of increasing anti-Christian legislation here in Australia. We've had a difficult year. And yet we don't know what the future holds. And when we look at all these things, we can get discouraged and we can think, you know, what's happening? Things seem so bad. And things seem like they're declining and not getting any better. And yet, through all this, the Lord's reminding us, just as Paul reminded the Philippians in all of their troubles and problems, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I'll admit to you, that is easier said than done. It's a whole lot easier to stand up and preach and tell you, let's rejoice in the Lord always, than it is to rejoice in the Lord always when troubles strike our home. Troubles strike our own lives. And we're in the midst of trouble and problems in our world. It's not easy to rejoice in the Lord always in our own strength. And yet, as we dig into this morning, I want us to examine that little phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. And I want to pull it apart and look at it phrase by phrase, or part of each phrase, in three different segments of that phrase. And as we look at this, I hope it'll enlighten us and help us to see afresh and anew what God is asking us to do, to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's take a look at that first word. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? Well, joy and rejoicing are an emotion of the heart that radiates on our faces. It sparkles in our excitement. It springs from our lips when our hearts are overflowing with gladness. You be around a person that's full of joy, and it just kind of oozes from every pore of their body. They're excited. And it's coming out, and they're expressing it in every way. Rejoice is also a scriptural admonition. Throughout the Bible, many times throughout the Bible, hundreds of times throughout the Bible, God tells us that we need to be glad, we need to rejoice, we need to have joy. Many, many, many times. Let me give you just four for a little bit of a tantalizer. And then I encourage you to do some digging on your own. But one of those verses, Psalm 2, 9 verse 2, says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Psalm 32 verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And again and again and again throughout the Bible, God tells us to rejoice, to have joy, to be glad. God wants us to have gladness in our hearts. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God wants to produce fruit of joy in our lives. In its truest form, joy really can only exist in one who knows Christ. Now, I'm not saying that the unbelievers can't have a certain degree of joy. I think they probably can. But in the sense that the Spirit of God puts joy in us and it flows out of us through the Spirit of God working in us, that's something that only a Christian can have. And you know, you read there in Galatians 5:22 where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I don't know about you, but I've read over that passage different times and then I've looked in the mirror at myself and says, is there love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance in my life? And if there's not that flowing out of me, what does that indicate? It indicates that I'm not filled with the Spirit. I'm not really walking in the Spirit like I should be. If these things are not being produced in my life. And all too often, I fear in our lives as Christians, we can say that we are walking in the Spirit, but sometimes the evidence doesn't show in our lives. And so we need to strive to stay close to the Spirit of God and close to God so that He can work in our hearts and that He can help us to have joy in times when it's not easy to have joy. And that we can be glad and rejoice in Him because He has given us the strength and the grace. As Christians, we're to walk in the Spirit by living in obedience to the Lord so that He can produce that fruit that He wants to in our lives. You know, it's kind of like a tree in our garden. You have a fruit tree in your garden, and assuming that you give it water and the fertilizer it needs and prune it regularly if it needs pruning, you should be able to get an abundance of fruit. I say should there because there's always some exceptions. You know, in our soil in this area here, it's not easy to grow things. But that's the idea. And God says, in our lives, God can be able to produce the fruit in our lives if we will allow Him to strengthen us. And we need the water from the Word. We need the fertilizer from the Scriptures that will strengthen and build us up. And spending time with God to be able to let Him take control and to prune us when we need pruned. And to get the things out of our lives that shouldn't be in there and that should and put things in that should be in there so that we can produce fruit. But joy is possible. Rejoicing is possible as a scriptural admonition. And as we consider the fact that joy is possible, both of these occurrences, look at the verse again, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It starts with rejoice, it ends in rejoice. And both of those words in the original language are imperatives, commands. He starts over the command, you must rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, you must rejoice. So these are both commands from God. Now, since God commands us to rejoice in Him, we know that it cannot be impossible. You know, there's times in our life we say, but God, I just can't rejoice right now. There's nothing to rejoice about. God says we can rejoice. That's why He's commanded us to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And it's not an option. It's not something we can give or take. It's something we must do. And I think there is a difference between joy and happiness. And you think about that with me. You know, maybe there's a fine line there, and maybe it doesn't always fit. But joy and happiness, I think, are different. Happiness is a result of pleasant circumstances. We may be happy that it's a beautiful day today, and it's not raining. We may be happy that, you know, we got something nice for Christmas. And we may be happy about something else that nice that happened to us. But joy, on the other hand, joy is the God-given ability to be joyful in our hearts during negative circumstances. Even when the things aren't going so well. Even when we didn't get what we thought we were going to get. Or even when something doesn't happen. Or even when we get sick. Or even when something terrible happens in our life. And we think, how can I possibly rejoice in that? God says we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to rejoice in the Lord. So joy is possible. Joy is possible. And it, not only is it possible, but it's taken from us when we do wrong. You know, you think about David. David committed adultery, and then he murdered Bathsheba's husband. And David lost his fellowship with God, and he lost his joy. And then David writes in the Psalm 51, verse 12, he prayed there, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. His joy had been taken from him because of his sin. And now he got right with God and his joy is able to return. You know, one of the things that will keep us from joy is unconfessed sin in our life. If there's something we've done that we know is wrong and we have not dealt with it and we're not willing to deal with it, we're not going to have joy. We're going to be miserable. There has to be confession and getting it right with God in order to have joy in our hearts. Not only is joy a command, but it's also a present tense command. And by that, it means that right now we are supposed to be rejoicing. Right now. You know, there's a temptation to say, well, Lord, I will rejoice when things go well, but I just can't rejoice right now. And, you know, when troubles strike us, there is a great temptation to feel that way. I admit. You know, I'll be the first to say, you know, when things cave in on me, that my first response isn't, oh, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. That's not my first response. But God says we can and we ought to and we must rejoice in the Lord even during those times. All the time he says we need to be rejoicing. And so it needs to be a daily task for us to rejoice in the Lord. While there may be very little joy in our problems and our conflicts, our pains, our persecution, or the death of a loved one, God says, you can rejoice. And I want you to rejoice. And I want you to rejoice now in the Lord. And that brings us to the second phrase. So the first word in the phrase was rejoice. But then the second, he says, rejoice in the Lord. That's important. Because, you know, there's going to be times that we can't rejoice in the problem, but we can rejoice in the Lord. And that's what God wants us to focus on during those difficult times. When Paul was sitting there in prison, I mean, Paul was a human like us. Can you imagine spending 4 years in prison before waiting his trial and thinking, when's this ever going to end? And what's going to be the end? Will I live through this? And for Paul to say, I rejoice. This is great. I love sitting in prison. You know, prison food's really good and the rats are company and all the stuff that's in here. This is really nice. I like this. Paul didn't rejoice in his circumstance any more than you and I rejoice in our circumstances when they're bad. But Paul was able to rejoice in the Lord. And he says here that we are to rejoice in the Lord. Now, how do we do that? Well, one of the things, we can rejoice in the Lord's provisions. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, he saved you from your sins. And he loves us while we're yet sinners. That's something to rejoice in. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me. He loves you. He loved us when we're yet sinners. And he died for us to forgive us of our sins. And what a wonderful blessing that is to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he died to pay for our debts, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ became sin for me. Didn't mean he sinned for me. He became my sin. He took my sin upon Him. And He paid the debt that I owed. And He set me free. We can rejoice in that. We can rejoice that He's done that and set us free. We can rejoice that He rose again to give us eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Jesus Christ rose from the dead to give us life. You know, we're not going to die and spend eternity rotting in the grave. We've got a huge future in heaven with God for all eternity. And we can rejoice in that. Even though things are bad now, we can rejoice that one day we're going to be set free from this world and we're going to be with the Lord in heaven for all eternity. That is a great thing to rejoice in. We can rejoice that God has forgiven us. Psalm 86:5. "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." That is a wonderful verse to memorize. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. God is always ready to forgive if we will humble ourselves before Him and say, "God, I was wrong. Would You please forgive me?" God says, "I will. I am ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy." We can rejoice that God daily blesses us. Every day there's blessings that come our way. Sometimes we don't see them because the burdens seem bigger than the blessings, but we need to look for the blessings. They're there. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." He daily loads us with benefits. God regularly provides for us. Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." God benefits us every day. He provides food for us. He provides shelter for us. He provides clothing for us. He provides health for us. He provides so many things for us. And we may look at the things that are wanting, and we look at the burdens, and we look at the troubles, and we say, "Oh, but look at all these troubles." Yes, well, we need to count our blessings. Look at what God has done. And that song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One," is a song we need to remember. Because if we don't, we'll look at the burdens and we overlook the blessings. God wants us to count our blessings. Reminds me of a story I read of a man who owned a small estate, and he decided that he was going to sell it. He was weary of this. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't happy there. And so he sent for a real estate agent and asked him to come and look over the property and write out an advertisement that he could put in the local news. And the real estate agent did that, and he got it all written out. And when he got it all done, he brought it to the man and said, "I'm going to read it to you and make sure that it's all okay before we put it in the paper." And he read the description of his property and all that he had. And by the time the guy was done reading this description, the man said, "I changed my mind. I've been looking for a property like that all my life. Didn't realize that I owned it. I'll keep it." And you know, sometimes we need to just take a look at what God has done for us. You know, think about the other people of our world right now that, you know, even at Christmas time, I was able to go to sleep without a headache, without feeling, you know, all the hangovers and the music pounding in my brain and all that kind of stuff. What about all those poor people in our world by the thousands and thousands in this country that had all the troubles and burdens and heartaches and sadness of what they called fun on Christmas? And we can have fun without all that stuff. God has been good to us. We don't need all that stuff, all that rubbish, all the things of this world that are tearing people's lives apart and destroying them to have fun. We can rejoice in the Lord. And God has been so good to us in so many ways. So we can rejoice in God's provisions. We can also rejoice in God's purpose. When Paul prayed that God might remove the thorn in his flesh, notice what God said to him, 2 Corinthians 12:9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So, sorry, I misquoted that last part. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities. I'll be happy that I've got these problems because God said I need them and they're good for me. Sometimes God may say that about us. He said, I've got some problems coming your way, but they're good for you. Say, oh, Lord, I don't like problems. But God says they're good for you. They'll help you. They'll cause you to depend more on me. They'll cause you to trust in me more. It'll cause you to rely more fully on me. They're good for you. And so God knows what is best, and we need to rejoice in God's purpose. The purpose of every trial God allows in our lives is for our good and His glory. Remember that. The purpose for every burden, trial, sickness, heartache, trouble that comes into our life is for our good and God's glory. And if we'll remember that, it'll help us to rejoice in the Lord. He says also that we can rejoice in the Lord's presence. He's always with us. He's not going to leave us. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, come to me. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I'm welcoming you. We can rejoice that He upholds us when we feel forsaken. Sometimes we may feel like the whole world hates me. Everybody's against me. My family doesn't want me. Nobody loves me anymore. And I feel forsaken. When that happens, remember this psalm. Psalm 27, verse 10. The psalmist said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When everybody forsakes me, even mom and dad, if they forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He's not going to leave me. He's there. He's with me. And we can rejoice in that. We can also rejoice in God's promises. Many, many promises in the Scriptures. But He promises to be a faithful friend. Hebrews 13:5. Where He says, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Never. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always there. We can always depend upon Him. And His promise to give us peace. One of the most precious verses in the book of Isaiah is Isaiah 26:3. Where Isaiah wrote, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. God says, I'll give you perfect peace. If your mind is stayed on me, and you trust in me. And so, these are just a small sample of God's provisions, His presence, and His promises in the Scriptures. The Bible's full of them. And I challenge you to dig them out. Look for those promises. Look for the times that God promises to meet our needs and gives us reason to rejoice and to bless Him and thank Him for His goodness and to be glad. But then also we see here, rejoice in the Lord always. 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 Now we've touched on this slightly already, but let's just consider that. Always means always. The word Paul used here literally means at all times. I don't know about you, but that's convicting. God says at all times I'm supposed to rejoice in the Lord. At all times. That means that I must rejoice in the Lord when I have a flat tire on the freeway in the rain, on my way to an appointment that I can't miss. Rejoice in the Lord. I must rejoice in the Lord when I get bad news that breaks my heart. Maybe you've been there, done that. Get a phone call, an email, text message. Bad news breaks your heart. Something sad, something that tears you up inside. Rejoice in the Lord, always. I must rejoice in the Lord when I suffer great loss. Something Tragic happens. House burned down. The car blows up. You lose your investments. Whatever it may be, God says rejoice in the Lord always. We need to rejoice in the Lord when we feel terrible. The older we get, the more we understand that. Melody and I were just pondering that yesterday. It seems like such a short time ago that we were young. And now we're old. I mean, I realize 62, almost 63, maybe isn't ancient, but it's certainly closer to the end than the beginning. And our bodies are wearing out. Things are falling apart. And we don't always feel very good. And some of you can relate. But even in those times, we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord. God doesn't make any mistakes. Rejoice in the Lord. This command assures us that we will never face a trial or burden that's so great that we cannot rejoice in the Lord. And God says that rejoicing in the Lord is always possible. And it's what He wants us to do. So rejoicing in the Lord is a constant choice. It's something we need to do regularly. God wants us to rejoice in the Lord. If we look for it, there's always something for which we can rejoice. Just recently, I enjoy listening to audiobooks, and I re-listened to the story of Pollyanna. How many of you have read the story of Pollyanna? A couple of you have. You need to read that one. It's not necessarily a Christian story, but it's got a lot of Christian principles in it. Little girl Pollyanna. She had a lot of problems. She was an orphan. And yet she had a joy. She was always going around getting people to be glad. And you know, when I finished reading that book, I thought, you know, that really is something I need more often. What a blessing to be a person that is making other people glad and encouraging them to be glad and trying to find something in every difficult situation in which to be glad. And if we would make that a habit in the year to come of saying, you know, I've got all these issues, the world is caving in, my family's got problems, we got this, whatever that, and all the burdens that are upon us, and we say, Lord, help me to find something each day for which I can be glad. Help me to find something that I can say, I am glad about this. I'm glad about this. Even in the difficult things, we should find something for which we can be glad. I remember one of the little stories in this book, Pollyanna, that got her started on this. Her father was a minister. And they were very poor. They were missionary ministers in a missionary ministry out in the western states of the U.S. way back in the early days. And they had almost nothing. They were extremely poor. And every now and then they would get a barrel sent out that was labeled as missionary barrel. And it would be something that the people over in the eastern states that were wealthy would just, you know, put in all their secondhand whatever they didn't want, put it in the barrel and send it out to the missionaries. Their old tea bags and all that kind of stuff. Whatever they put in their missionary barrel. And she was praying that the Lord would have someone put a little doll in the missionary barrel next time they sent one out. And she prayed and prayed. When they got the barrel, they opened it up. There was no doll in it. All that was in it that was any suited for her was a pair of crutches. And she cried, and her father said, we need to try to find something to be glad about. She says, how can I be glad? I wanted a doll. I don't want crutches. And he says, you can be glad you don't need the crutches. And from that point on, they tried to find something to be glad about in everything. And, you know, that was really a challenge to my heart. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. And look for something to be glad about in everything. And there is something in our lives each day that we can be glad about if we will look for it. But we must choose to believe that God is in control. I think that is probably one of our biggest problems. Maybe I'm just looking in the mirror and talking about myself, but one of the reasons that I struggle to be glad in difficult situations is because I fail to see that my God is in control and that He's doing what is best for me, even though it doesn't look good to me. And we fail to see what God is. God is always good. God doesn't make mistakes. God is in control. And we must believe that God never makes mistakes. And whatever trouble, trial, problem He brings in my life, He's got a purpose for it. He doesn't make mistakes. He can help me through it. He can see me through this. It will work out in the end, and I can rejoice in the Lord in this. And we must choose to accept God's will with joy. It's not easy, but we can do it because God said we can. And He will give us joy if we walk close to Him and the Spirit of God is working in us and filling us like He wants to. He can put the joy in us that we need. But we need His help. In and of ourselves, it's hard to be joyful when something goes wrong. But God can help us. And you know, none of us knows what will take place in 2021. Maybe the Lord will come back tomorrow. And we won't have to worry about it. That'll be wonderful. But He may not. 2021 may be worse than 2020 was. There may be other problems that get worse. We don't know what 2021 may be. In your life, you don't know what's going to happen in the next year. Will you get sick? You may not even be here next year. I might not even be here next year. Maybe gone. We don't know what life has for us. We don't know what kind of burdens may lay ahead. But whatever it may be, we need to just say, Lord, I want to rejoice in You every day. Help me to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's not easy. But you know, it will be less stressful if we'll learn to rejoice in the Lord. The burdens that weigh us down and get us so hectic and stirred up and emotionally traumatized are because we don't trust in the Lord. If we really trusted the Lord and rested in Him, we could rejoice in Him, knowing that He makes no mistakes. Let's cast our burdens on the Lord and rejoice in His care for us. Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. And just lay our burdens at His feet and rejoice in the Lord. Now I know that all of you are regular attendees, but I don't know who may be listening to this later on. And perhaps even among ourselves here, I don't know your hearts. But you know, if you are not genuinely a Christian, you need to come to know the Lord before you're able to rejoice. You can't joy in problems like God wants us to if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. That's where it's got to be begin. And so if there's any doubt in your mind, deal with it today. Don't put it off.